All right. What's up, Authentic Church? How are you? That video never gets old to me. I love watching it. Matt Schmucker, our kids director, did a fantastic job with all that. So if you see him, give him a pat on the butt and say, good game. I'm just kidding. Don't do it. Anyways, so I'm grateful. My name is Sean Jensen. I have the privilege of serving here as your pastor, and I am back on stage after healing for a week. Thanks for all your prayers. Just real quick, because some people were you were weirded out, I did have surgery on my tongue. I had a thing called a tongue fibroma for a few years, and finally the doctor said, we're going to get this thing off. Everything came back all right, benign, everything's good. Thanks for your prayer. So the enemy thought he could take my tongue because I preached the gospel, but that devil is a liar. I'm back and better than ever, and I'm ready to show him who's boss. So after lots of painkillers and everything like that, I was like, sorry, to be honest with you, your pastor was stoned last week. I'm not going to lie. I came in, I was like, does it always look like this in here? So if you're here joining us today and you're there, hey, you're still welcome here. We hope that Jesus does a work in your life. Anyways, just real quick, couple things. Worship team, thank you for blessing us this morning. It was an awesome time in God's presence. And just wanted to give you an update. A few weeks ago, we talked about how we wanted to see a goal of $6,000 a week coming in. And how we talked about that. Rachel last week gave you an update, said that it still has been going on. And I come up here this week and say, you guys are still rocking it. We still reached our goal. God's still blessing us. So thanks for being a generous church. And if you're new with us, we cheer with that because we can use that money to bless our community, bless others. We give to A21, who actually goes and rescues women stuck in sex trafficking. So it's not just what's happening here. That money's going everywhere to bless people. So I'm grateful for that. We are on the last week of Larger Than Life, and I'm excited to get right into it. We're going to be in Matthew 25. It's a parable of Jesus, which if you're new to church, that's okay. We're glad that you're here. That's actually why we started this church was for people who weren't in the doors yet. So if you feel uncomfortable, just feel comfortable. I'm going to do my best to explain what's going on in these scriptures so that you're not confused. Matthew 25, a parable is just pretty much a story. Jesus was a master storyteller. So when people say, our job as pastors not to entertain people, well, Jesus entertained people through stories, and he used it to preach the gospel. And so obviously entertainment doesn't save our soul, but the gospel does. And so I'm just going to do as best as I can to do what Jesus did and help with this parable as I read through it. And so we are in our third week of talking about this. Can you guys throw Proverbs up on the screen? This has been our theme verse this whole series. It's been the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And we talk about how we want to live larger than life and how the first week we talked about how making the most of our time. Last week we learned more about being a blessing and using our talents, our treasures. So it was time, treasures, and this week we're going to talk about talents. Time, treasures, and talents. And when we use these things, that we can be a church that's larger than life. And I'm really pumped to talk about talents today, and you're going to hear that word in this scripture. But let's go ahead and start in Matthew 25. This is Jesus telling a parable. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's teaching people in a story setting, and this is what it says. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them in property. This is a pretty long parable, so lean in and don't miss out. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. That's very important that you realize that phrase. Well done, good and faithful. Everyone say faithful. Servant, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Everyone say faithful. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, which he really didn't know him then. I knew to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew what that I reap where I have not sown, yet gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing with teeth. Have a good day. See you guys. It's kind of crazy. Jesus is actually talking about a story. He's the landowner, and we have servants, and he talks about these talents. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, but as we see here, they got 5, 2, and 1, and what these people did with the talents made a difference. What these people did with the talents actually caused Jesus to respond the way he did. And so I want to break this down with you after we pray. Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would speak. I pray that you would deliver this message like you delivered it to me, Father. I know this message can change lives, Father God, not just ours, but when we actually do what your word says, it's going to change lives around us, Lord. We're praying for breakthrough in our families. Well, it happens when we do the word. We're praying for breakthrough in our community. Well, it happens when we do the word. So I pray, Father God, that we would be faithful with this talent today. This message is a talent, Lord. So let's be faithful with it as it goes out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to find someone next to you. I want you to ask them this question. If you're new here and you're like, that's uncomfortable, find someone you came with. If you're by yourself, just stand there and look scared. I'm just kidding. We're not going to make you feel bad. But ask them this question. Say, hey, do you have a hidden talent? Now, I want the person who asked, because here's the typical people. One of you asked first. The other one's too shy. Give the shy person a chance now. Say, hey, do you have a hidden talent? Who in here has a hidden talent? I'm not going to call you on the stage. Who says, I have a hidden talent? Anybody got a hidden talent? Like, are you going to call? I'm not going to make you come up here. Can you come? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you come up. Who says I got a hidden talent? No one? Hidden talent? I was on Snapchat this week, and we have authentic groups, and I saw one of our volunteers had a hidden talent, and he was in a group with tons of people. That's why you got to get in authentic groups. And if you saw this video, this dude completely turns his arm all the way around so my palm's down and then moves it like, I don't even know, this way and then that way. And everyone's just like, ooh, like that's like, get the buckets out. And I was like, that's a hidden talent. I don't know if some of you have a hidden talent. I know there's some people in here that you might not know that are hidden. I have a hidden talent. Who wants to know my hidden talent? You guys want to know my hidden talent? All right, you won't even see it. I just did it. I can wiggle my ears. You don't think dirty. Who is like, oh my gosh. What do you think? I'm like the pastor. Like, what am I going to make you guys think? Like, what's his hidden talent? Like, I can wiggle my ears. Some people are like, what? You can wiggle? I can really watch. My daughter loves it. She's like, Dad, wiggle your ears. And I do it. And then you can tell she's trying. She's like, and then so she just grabs him and goes like this. And I met someone who had a hidden talent once, and he was a close friend of mine. And we hung out. I knew him for like 5 or 6 years. And I went over to his house, and one of my other friends had a painting in their office. And I was like, man, that's a really good drawing. Who drew that? And they said, I don't want to put this person down, but they said his name. And I was just like, what? Like, it was my other friend, the one who I've been hanging out with so long. I'm like, No way. And for sure, he was an artist, but he never used it. He's like, yeah, I got the talent, but I just never used it. And I was like, God, take it from him. Talent, what? Take it from the one talent, put it on this, right? Because I wish I could draw. You should see my sketches. It is bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my work never made the refrigerator, right? Like, it was not. My mom's like, I would put this up there, but it is awful, right? Like, I'm just protecting you, kid. But he had a hidden talent, and I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, you have this talent, and you're not even using it. And I think God does the same thing with us, because he has put gifts in each one of us. He said, here's the thing that I've entrusted you with. That means he trusts you with it to do something with it. And God has trusted us with gifts and talents and things in our life, and yet we dig them up and hide them. And God's saying, I put that in you to make a difference, but instead of developing it, you've dug it, and nothing is happening. And my goal as a church is that today we we would dig back up the talents that are lying dormant, that they wouldn't be hidden talents anymore, and that we would say, today is my showcase to show you what my hidden talent is. Now, you're like, so wiggle my ears can save someone's life? No. That's not, well, I guess it could, but I'm saying, well, if God can use a donkey, he can use wiggling ears. But I guess what I'm trying to say is God has asked us to be faithful. I had you say that word a few times. That word faithful may not mean what you think it means, especially in our day and age and what culture is. You see, faithfulness is not for the mountaintops. Faithfulness is for the valleys. Faithfulness is not in the honeymoon stage. Faithfulness is when you have two kids that are up all night and you're yelling at your wife and she's yelling at her husband and you're just trying to get by. It's like it's just not what it used to be anymore. Faithfulness is not proven in the light of day. Faithfulness is proven in the dark of night. And so God's asked us to be faithful. Our goal in life is that when we get to heaven, he would say the same words we hear here. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't give you tools for you to get to that place for him to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And my goal today is that we wouldn't allow these talents to hide anymore, but that we would be faithful with what God's given us. Why? Because when we're faithful with the gifts and talents as a church collectively, guys, it will make us larger than life. It's already happening. That's why you were blessed today during worship, because these people haven't hidden their talents. They said, we'll use it for the glory of God. That's why you felt joy when people were out parking, and that's why you can come into a place that doesn't still smell like alcohol and smoke on the walls, because we had construction guys in here who used their talents to get this place ready so you could sit here and enjoy it. Why are we larger in life? Because I'm going to be faithful with the talent God's put in me, and my goal is that you wouldn't hide your talents anymore. So whatever it is, if you're an athlete, if you're a contractor, if you sing, if you are a leader, if you are good at talking, if you know, if you can talk yourself out of situations, you might be a good preacher. I'm just saying, that's how I know. I was like, this is my calling, right? But today I just pray, it says this in 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. What is he saying? Be faithful with what I've entrusted you with. So how can we be faithful with the talents God's given us? Number one, faithfulness, first and foremost, isn't determined by what you have. Faithfulness isn't determined by what you have. Every time I hear this scripture from growing up, I always felt bad for the dude who had one talent. Anybody else, right? I'm like, why does he only get one? Like, so he goes up to one guy and says, here's five. And to another guy, he goes, here's two. And to the other one, he goes, here's one. The guy took five, he made 10. The other guy took two, he made 4. The guy with one, well, he just dug it up and he had one at the end of it. And this bugged me, guys, because I deal with OCD. I'm atypical. I'm like, And I'm reading this and I'm like, 5, 2, 1? Why not 5, 3, 1? Like, that just drove me. Like, this is what you do, Sean, when you study? Yes. Like, before I get any further, I'm like, Jesus. Like, there's got to be something there. Like, 5, 2, 1? That's odd, even odd. Like, you should have kept them odd, Jesus. Like, I should be Jesus, right? Who knows? But I realized Jesus is he's a genius. Every time he does something that catches your eye, he does it for a specific reason. I'm sure at that time he realized, like, listen, your heart's going to be in the wrong place on why, how many talents, because you're focused on the 5, you're focused on the 2, and you're focused on the 1. But it's not really about that. You'll miss the whole story if you just think about the amount that people have. Because it's about multiplication. It's not about what you have. And so I was thinking about that, and I was like, why wouldn't it be 5, 3, 1? And this is crazy. I really feel like this. I don't take it to the bank, you know, if it's not right. But I really believe this is awesome because Jesus is a genius. 5 went to 10. 2 went to 4, and 1 stayed. Now, if he gave the second guy 3 and he doubled it, he would have had, where are my math majors at? All right. You guys are showing off now. 6. How's that, honey? 5 went to 10, 2 went to 4, 1 went to 1. Yeah, so if he would have had 3, he would have went to 6, right? Which then he might have thought, well, now I have more than 5 where that guy started out, so I must have been better. But he went from 2 to 4, and God still said these words, well done, good and faithful servant. But he had less than the first 5. He didn't get above the first 5, like, 5 must be the start for you to do something good. He's like, no, 5 went to 10, good job. 2 went to 4, good job. I believe what Jesus was trying to show us was if he would have had 3 and went to 6, you would have thought that you had to get above 5. You would have thought it was about the amount. It's not even about the amount. It's not based on what you have. It's based on what you do with what you have. What have I given you to multiply? It's not, oh, I got to get to 5. Oh, I got to have a church of 4,000. Oh, I got to have, I got to be a mom like that. Oh, my kids need to walk into church like this with their bonnet up and everything in their hair and looking all good. Yeah, I chew them out at the front door. Why? Because we get so focused on the amount, and God says, it's not based on what you have. If you look at it that way, you'll never amount up. But what are you doing with what you have? Because there's people who have ubers and goobers of talent who are doing nothing with it. And there's people who have one talent, and they're working it as hard as they can. It's not based on what you have. It's based on what you do with what you have. So I'm going to help you today in how you can be faithful. Stop looking and comparing yourself to other people's talents. If you're spending your whole time discovering other people's talents, you'll never discover the talents for yourself. And so you got to get your eyes off and say, it's not about how talented they are. It's about what God's put here. This is where my wife can take place really fast. Because here I am. I love music. I love music. Like, I'm all about music. Can't play it with anything. Can't sing either. And I'm like, God, you missed it. Not only that, so I marry a girl who has too much talent. I'm like, I don't know what you do with it. Give some of it away, right? Like, you're making me sick. And she was the one up here playing guitar, and she sings. And I'm not trying to put on a pedestal. I'm just use this because this is my life. she's playing guitar, so 1 talent. She sings, 2 talent. She can play keyboard, 3 talent. She can play drums, 4 talent. She's a good leader, 5 talent. She's like a Uber, like she's got like 12 talents. And I'm like, I can talk good. But for the longest time, like, man, I love music. I love graphic art. I love graphic design. I even went to Bible school at first being a graphic designer. I was like, this isn't working out. Because I spent so much time worrying about what I wanted. I was discovering everybody else's gift, and I realized it wasn't about the talents they had, but what they were doing with the talents they had. And when I realized that, I realized one thing. I have got to stop spending all my time trying to play guitar and learning these things. It would be awesome to learn, but God has made me a speaker and a leader. So I need to get some leadership books. I need to learn how to work my craft in speaking. When people say, wow, you've gotten better, it's because that's what I do. When she practices guitar, I listen to preachers, and I try to put things together, and I'm working on my craft. And I realized that that never would have got me to where I am until I had this realization. It's not based on how many talents you have, but what you do with what you have. And when you realize that, it changes everything. And she used her talents well, and it's not based on how many talents, because you can see so many people and you'll give up that you won't discover the talent you have. 1 or 5. 1 or 5. And can I tell you something? 1's very valuable too. You look at the scripture, I was going to say this for later. You look at the scripture and you realize 5 is a lot. 2, cool. 1, but a talent is equivalent to 20 years of wages. So 1 talent was very valuable in itself. I mean, 1 talent was a big deal. And so I think what Jesus was trying to say was sometimes you think your 1 talent's not very valuable, but it's still worth 20 years worth of wages. You can do some damage with that. So I want to encourage you today. Don't get so focused on how super mom is. Instagram lies anyway. She's just posting all the stuff that you want to see. She's not showing the stuff that she really is dealing with. Amen. So true. Preach it, Sean. Use that gift. Faithfulness isn't determined by what you have. It's determined by what you do with what you have. Church life is like this. I can get so focused looking at other churches. Man, going to C3 conference. Our church is like 900. Our church is like this. And I'm like, how are we ever going to make an impact? He's like, It's not based about how much numbers. It's based on what your church or 350 does with what you have right now. Because when you get there, then it doesn't matter how big you get. Your focus is community impact and what you do with what you have. And stop saying, well, if I had this. No, we got it. If we don't have it, then we don't need it yet. If we got it, it's in the house, and God's put exactly who he needs to do exactly what he wants to do in our community right now. And if you're going to miss it, you can miss it, but there's people in here who are getting to experience it, because it's not based on what we have. It's based on what we do with what we have. Number 2, we have to realize that we have to stop digging, and we have to start developing. Now, be patient with me as I work through this because I got to go through some stuff to help this explain. Stop digging and start developing. Have you noticed that God delivers the gifts? A lot of us have gifts and talents. God delivers them, but it's up to us to develop them. I love this about God. I used to be like, I just want to be like awesome. And he said, no. If it was like that, then you wouldn't rely on me. If I just gave you a gift that was just like, and you didn't develop it, what's the fun in that? What's the joy in that? There's nothing more joyful than having a gift and realizing that you've gotten better and better and watching God use it and use it. He's saying, stop digging, start developing. I deliver the gifts, you develop the gifts. We need to realize this, church, because we wait for God to drop some magic dust on us to be, okay, God, whenever you want to use this gift, whoo, develop it. He's like, I put it in you, but you need to develop it. Work it hard. Now, I put the grace in your life, but you need to develop that grace in your life. Now, I put the love in your life, but come on, we all know as a church, we still need to develop that love, right? Come on. You should just, here's a person who, I hear you on Facebook. You need to develop some love, all right? And the other guy dug it. And the other one developed it. I was looking at this, and it said, he said these words in the scripture when they brought the money back. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over, listen, a little. You have been faithful over a little. Can I tell you why a lot of people stop developing their gift? Because they want the limelight, and they don't want to develop it in a little. A lot of people don't want to take the time it takes. Why? Because it's not very significant, it looks like, in the beginning. I want it to be, whew, but God looks at it in the little. You see, faithfulness isn't in the mountaintops, it's in the valleys. Faithfulness isn't proven when you have all of the things you want. Faithfulness is proven when you have what you want more. Faithfulness is when your expectation doesn't line up, faithfulness is when your experience doesn't line up with your expectation. I expected my marriage to be like this, but I'm experiencing something a little bit different. I expected Lazarus to live before he died. I expected this to happen, and when experience and expect doesn't happen, he says, will you still be faithful? I expected our church to be here, but it's not there yet. Sean, are you going to be faithful? I expected me to be here and my business to be here, but are you still going to be faithful? Why? Because it's in the little. Little is the perfect training ground to develop your gift. He's like, if you can be faithful when no one sees you, then I know I can trust you when everybody sees you. Let me say that one more time, because some of you need to hear that. If you can be faithful when no one sees you, then I know you can be faithful when everybody sees you. Because you'll know it's not about you in the first place. He says, I want you to be faithful over a little. I thought of our group director's son. His name's Aiden. Matt and Tiffany Armstrong, they battled. Tiffany battled cancer, and she's in remission, healed, praise God, and it's awesome. And it's awesome. In that season, people would help watch Aiden, and I was like, sign me up, I would love to watch Aiden, he's an awesome kid. And so I knew he was an awesome kid when I picked him up to go to Dairy Queen, he had a Harry Potter shirt on, I was like, that's my hero. Sean, you're a geek? You're a Harry Potter fan? Yeah, I love Harry Potter. Write me emails later, all right? So anyways, good for Siebel. And I was talking to him, and I picked him up, and he got in the car, and he had this really cool toy. It was like a Beyblade, and it's something that they battle with. It's something that he enjoys, and he was playing with it, and he brought it. And so obviously it's important to him because he brought it with us to Dairy Queen. And so I was like, hey, what is that? He's like, oh, it's a Beyblade. I just got it in the mail. And I was like, that's awesome. Where'd you get it? He's like, I got it off Amazon. This one's expensive. It was like $20. I was like, oh, man, so your parents paid for you? Because my parents got me everything. Like, I didn't have an allowance. They just got me everything. So, your parents paid for it? He goes, no, I did. I was like, hold up. What do you mean you paid for it? He goes, well, my parents give me an allowance. It's not, I'm like, so what's the allowance? I forgot how much. I don't know if they're in here. Do you guys know how much allowance is? Like, a couple bucks or something like that? And he's talking about it. It was like a smaller amount. The dude, Aiden, who is 8, 9, help me out, help me. How old? 9. Get it right, Sean. 9 years old, right? He knows more than I know, and I'm 29, and I'm still working on this. He's like, listen, I really want that Beyblade. I really want that thing. I know my allowance is only like $2, but if I save long enough, I'll be able to have enough to buy a Beyblade. I'm like, make, you know, I was kind of jealous because what would happen to me if I got an allowance? I would have gumballs every single week, right? Because, well, I can't afford the Beyblade, so I might as well just stick with this gumball. Or Big League Chew, right? Like, but he's saved. And I realized at that time, a lot of us want the Beyblade, but we stick with the gum. Because he learned to be faithful with the $2. He said, listen, if I save the $2, it's going to turn into something bigger. I'm like, this dude is teaching me my whole life right now. And parents, let your kids develop some of this stuff. Like, teach them to develop. Let them know, like, if you can be faithful in the little. Because there's so many kids who aren't doing anything, and then they get put on their own. They're like, oh, snap. How come the world doesn't give anything? We live in a culture where you get a trophy for losing. Oh, did I touch on something right there? Doesn't matter if you win or lose. So in life, when things get hard at your job, just quit. You'll still get a trophy. No. But we teach people that. If you want to email me, I'll talk to you more about that later. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is this. If we don't teach our children now to be faithful in the little, we're setting them up for doom. When they go to a job and they realize one thing, work is actually hard. It's going to take time to get some money. I'm not just going to walk in and be like, check out my rap video. Like, it's not going to happen. Even rappers put some time into their craft, and they're noticed before they get big. You have to be faithful in the little. The guy that had two and the guy that had five, it said that immediately they went out and got to work. They went out and got to work. My goal today is to encourage you, before you leave this place, that you would go and get to work. Be faithful in the little. Like, Sean, but I know I have a gift to preach, and you haven't given me the opportunity to come up here and preach on stage. No, but I gave you an opportunity to stand out those doors. Because if you can't talk out there, you're not going to be able to talk up here. I remember when I was in Tulsa, and I was like, I feel like I can be a pastor. And they set me out on Mobile Kids Club. babe, Mobile Kids Club. And 24, remember that? I had to go into the inner city, but they scared me. We got this old truck. We got to deliver food, and they would go and give food. They would go around the apartment complex and say, hey, in 15 minutes, we're going to have a service out in the parking lot. The truck was like one of those box trucks. The stage would come out. We put the speakers out, blast some music. People would, all these kids would come with their parents. They would have to sit and listen to the service, and at the end, we'd bless them with food. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, you're gonna speak. Here? No, I'm not much of a youth kid. Oh, you don't want to develop the gift? Because how in the heck are you going to pastor a church if you don't even have the heart for the people in the inner city? No, he wrecked me good. I remember going to the 24/7 experience. A bunch of rowdy high schoolers who are a bunch of junior middle schoolers who had no clue about Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with it. They just wanted the free snacks. Sean talked to them. But they're screaming the whole time I'm talking to them. This isn't working. Then I went over to the Dream Center and preached to homeless people. Why? Because God was saying this, will you be faithful in the little? Because if you can't be faithful in the little, you got to be faithful here before I give you this. A lot of people don't notice that. Look at Colin, who plays up here in the guitar and has all this stuff. What if I just start switching it? Just kidding. He's got all this stuff, but people don't know that back in Cornell, which is a town of 500 people, right? Back in Cornell, he was coming from Streeter to New Life. And one of our guys who helped us start the church actually stepped out. And we needed a guitarist. And he just started using it. He was just like, I don't, you know, and he's like, I'll do it. And sure enough, he stepped up. And he needed work. You need to work. We all need work. But he realized that that setting with 20 young adults, that I'll be faithful there. And because he was faithful there, I believe God has given him the platform here, because we're looking at a dude who's been faithful not just with his gift, but has been faithful to the church, because until a couple months ago, he did not miss a practice or didn't even miss a Sunday for 3.5 years. Why? Because I'm going to be faithful in the little. I'm going to be faithful in the little. That's why when people contact me like, hey, we see your church is growing. I'm really looking for a position. I'm like, get a life. What are you doing with what you got now? Oh, I just got out of school. Here, you can make music for our kids. I want it the stage. No, like, our kids need musicians too. Yeah, faithful. If you can't be faithful in the little, how are you going to be faithful with much? And so God's saying we need to start developing and stop digging. The number one reason gifts aren't being developed is people don't want to be faithful in the little. Man, developing the gift is so hard. And even when you get to this place, you still got to develop it. But my goal is this. I believe this is what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is taking the gift God has given to you and developing it to impact others. You see, if I gave a guitarist a guitar and they're just learning it, they're going to have to develop that gift. God gives us the gift, but we have to develop it. So I don't know where you are, but you can start now. If you feel like God put a thing in your heart to preach, then maybe talk to Matt and Tiffany Armstrong and say, hey, there's something in my heart that this feels like I want to preach or something, and you can start with a group. But there's only 6 or 7 people. Well, if you can't be faithful in a little, and not just that, that's perfect training ground, because if you say something crazy there, it's easier to fix. Like, we don't have to talk to 6 people, say, yeah, it was a little heretical, but he's learning, right? I remember it was so much easier for me to preach with 20 people, but now the more it grows, God developed it and prepared me for this place. And if I would have skipped that season, this season would have crushed me. So don't despise the little. Be faithful in it. And the last thing is this. Don't let fearfulness stop you from faithfulness. Don't let fearfulness stop you from faithfulness. Matthew 25, verse 24 says this. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. The reason why he dug the talent was probably for a couple reasons. He was fearful. And he was probably fearful because, first off, he had the wrong perception of God. There's a lot of people who are so fearful with their life and their gift because they have the wrong view of who God is. And he said, I knew you to be a hard man, but really he didn't know exactly who he was. Meaning that if I mess this up, you wouldn't give me mercy. He saw the master as someone who, if I messed up, I wouldn't get any mercy or grace, I'm in trouble. And because he was afraid, he dug up the talent. And I honestly believe the reason why a lot of us aren't developing our gift for God is because we're scared of the what ifs. We're scared of the mistakes. We're scared if it doesn't work out like we want it to. And fearfulness will always get in the way of faithfulness. It always will. Every single time. He says, I was afraid, so I hid it. I think about the story in Matthew where Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, and they're in the middle of the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. Jesus tells them to go across. In the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a storm breaks out, middle of night. Jesus is up on the mountain, praying, up on the hill praying. He sends them forth. They get stuck in a storm, which is kind of crazy because they were following Jesus' orders, yet they still found themselves in the storm. But as soon as he saw them in the storm, he walked on water, which is another good thing that even when you're in the storm, Jesus will book it to get to your storm. He even walked on water to get to your storm. So he comes out walking on water, showing off, right? Stormy waters, not giant waves. And they go, it's a ghost! He goes, guys, it's Jesus. It's me. And Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come out there. He goes, all right, Peter, come. Peter gets such a bad rep for sinking, but at least he got out of the boat. I can't stand a bunch of boat Christians who blame all the people who make mistakes while they're walking on water. Oh, well, did you hear Sean say that last week? Hey, at least I'm throwing something out there. Hey, did you see that person step out in the group? Hey, at least they got out of the boat. It's so easy to sit in the boat in storm waters and criticize all the people walking on the water. And when they begin to sink, you say, oh, look at what you did there. Peter still gets a bad rep, but he got out of the boat. He knew more about God's faithfulness in his mistake than the people hiding in the boat. And he used his talent and his gift. Why? How does this tie in? I believe this is what God spoke to me. I want to say this right, so I'm going to look at this real. I'd rather sink while walking on water than whining in the boat. Yeah, that's good. I'd rather sink trying to walk on water and using the talent God's given me than letting it lie dormant. Because he said, I was afraid. I'm sure Peter was afraid still getting out of the boat. At least he was trying it in his fear. A lot of people think fear has to leave for you to conquer something. No, I'm telling you something a little bit different. I just realized it a week ago that you have got to keep moving forward even in the middle of fear. Fear will never leave until you step forward. You can't wait for fear to leave to step forward. Fear leaves while you step forward. Fear leaves while you take a leap of faith. Fear leaves when you begin to follow Jesus. Don't wait for fear to leave, because if you wait for fear to leave, you won't be faithful. I'd rather start sinking, walking on water than whining in the boat. Because as soon as Peter started sinking, he said, Jesus, help me. And Jesus grabbed him. He said, why do you have such little faith? But in that moment, in our faithlessness, Jesus proved he will always be faithful. So how does this work? You might be fearful to step out and use your gift because you're scared you'll let God down. You are never holding him up. Jesus reached out. He says, thanks for using your faith. I know you made a mistake and you looked at the waves. It happens, but I will remain faithful. How can that help you in this current state? Don't fear the what ifs, because even if the what ifs come, Jesus is still there to grab you when you make a mistake. His grace is big enough. His mercy is good. And while you begin to develop your talent, when you fall, he'll get you back up. A lot of people don't let grace into their walk. And I'm here to tell you, well, Sean, if you preach that, let's keep making mistakes. I'd rather make aggressive mistakes than passive ones. I tell my team that all the time. I was like, I'd rather you guys make a mistake doing something than sitting back and getting nothing done. Because that shows me that you're trying to do whatever it takes. And I look at the story and I'd rather sink while walking on water than whining in the boat. Don't let your fear of what is prevent you from being. What does that mean? What if I sing the wrong lyric or hit the wrong note? You'd be in good company because it happens almost every week. You just don't notice it because you're in the moment. So use your talent. Use your gift. Audition. Get better. Maybe what if I say something wrong or say the wrong thing or make a mistake? I don't know enough about the Bible. The best way to learn more about the Bible is begin to teach the Bible. I tell that to people all the time. You want to have a better marriage? Find a couple who just got married and start teaching them about marriage. But I'm not good enough for that yet. Yeah, but you'll learn a whole lot while teaching someone else. The more I critique my team, the more I'm critiquing myself. I'm like, gosh, like I need to get this together before I critique them in that area. I'm like, hey, you need to work on this. And Lizzie's like, Sean, you need to work on that. Bye, love you. Maybe I'm too scared. What if it doesn't work out and I lose everything? You can't lose everything if you're a follower of Christ. Let me say that one more time. What if I lose everything? It's impossible if you know Christ. Because everything can shift. Everything can shake. Everything in your life can be gone. But if you have Jesus, you have lost nothing yet. So be faithful with the gift. Don't let fear come in. He loves you. He's cheering you on. He wouldn't have entrusted you with that talent if he didn't want you to develop it. Begin to work where you are at. 2 Timothy says this, 2 Timothy 2:11 to 13. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardships, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So when we fall flat on our face trying to develop this gift, his grace comes in and says, hey, let's try this one more time. But I'd much rather you try sinking on water than sitting and digging your talent in the ground. Go out, invest the money. Go out, do something with your talent. Go out and preach for the name of Jesus. Go out, sing for the name of Jesus. Go out, throw the baseball in the name of Jesus. Go out, cook in the name of Jesus. Go out, make that coffee, pray over it in the name of Jesus. Get someone saved by making the best coffee in town. I'm just saying, use your talent, use your gift so we can be larger than life. Be faithful with the business you have now so you can grow in it. Here, I'm going to show you a quick video of people in our church who used their talent and didn't let fear get in the way, because they could have. But they didn't, and this is what happened because of that. God gave. Yeah, that's an amazing story. God gave Jim and Sue a talent, and I'm glad that they didn't let fear get in the way of that, of what would these young adults say, or how can we relate to them? But because of their faithfulness, not only have they touched their lives and other marriages' lives, but now those people are using their story to help other married stories. And that's what happens when you become larger than life. As we close, I want to bring up one part of this story. Jesus gave 5, 2, 1. The guy went from 5 to 10. The other one 2 to 4, and the other one was 1. He gave 8 talents and 15 came back, but he didn't do it collectively. Everyone took an account for each talent they had. He didn't say, oh, cool, we got 15. It was 8, now it's 15. He went to each one individually. And Charles Spurgeon says it so well, I didn't even want to try saying it. He said, God will not ask you what your church did. He will ask you what you did yourself. God will not ask you what your church did. He will ask you what you did yourself. So as our church is blessing people, it's because each individual in here is making a difference. It's not one person doing everything, it's everyone doing something, and will always be that. So use your talent today. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would just continue to do the work that you're doing here, that we would be larger than life, Lord. I'm grateful, Father God, Lord, that you have entrusted me with a talent, Father, and I pray that I would use it to the best of my abilities, Lord. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you are good, you are holy, and Lord, I know that sometimes we're fearful of stepping out, but I pray that our faith would build up today, that when we step out, yeah, mistakes will happen, but thank God for the grace of Jesus Christ, that we can get better and that we can make less mistakes. I pray that we would be a church that is faithful with the talents you have given us, and I pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified in everything we do. Lord, I'm so grateful for your presence. I'm so grateful for everything you're doing in this place and through this place and in our hearts. I pray that people would not leave with this talent of this message and dig it, but that they would take it and work it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Can we give it up for God and his word this morning? If you receive it, amen.